You're with Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte has joined me again in the studio. And on the phone, we have the Hopkins County Madisonville Chamber Director, Lee Lingo. Lee, thank you so much for being on Sounds Good today.
Hey, thanks for having me on the program.
Mr. Lingo, I forgot, and you are actually president. That's my mistake, of that chamber, and also the chair of the I-69 Development Conference Planning Committee. And I seem to see that we are right in a space of time where there's just a lot of governmental activity around I-69 with the Congressional Caucus formation, and then before your event on October 15th, there's a kickoff event between the Chamber of Commerce of Southwest Indiana and the Henderson County Chamber of Commerce.
That's correct.
So this is a full court press to open up this corridor to get traffic moving through western Kentucky, northwest Kentucky, into Indiana and on up. Tell me about, I see that Governor Beshear is going to be at your meeting on the 15th, as will a number of experts. Where would you like to begin?
Well, this is what's kind of neat from our perspective. We feel like we've put together just a fantastic panel that covers so many different aspects of development, be it economic or community or commerce development for this region. We've put together a conference. It's the I-69 Development Conference, Our Road to the Future, and it's presented by an organization called the Rogers Group out of Hopkinsville. And really the point of this was to put a message out to decision makers, business leaders, change makers in all these communities along the corridor that Western Kentucky really needs this road change to interstate designation. We know what it will mean, and we're ready to take those reins and run with it. You know, when you're in Louisville and Frankfort and Lexington, you've got a pretty densely packed population base, so it's easy to hear when people ask for something. In Western Kentucky, they sort of refer to us up there in Frankfort as being out in the territory. And so we have to make sure that our message is concise and clear and on point, and that we're all saying the same thing. And so that's really one of the major focuses of this, to talk about how this road will impact all of our communities, why it's really important to us, and give everybody that's in attendance the correct method and vehicle to reach out to those people who can make this road happen sooner than later and put that pressure on.
Trace for our listeners the corridor as it goes through Kentucky.
Well, it's going to start, let's start from the north. It's going to go through Henderson, down Pennyrile South, and it will kick over to West Kentucky Parkway and follow that west until it hits the Purchase Parkway, and then we'll take that on south into Tennessee. It's making use of existing roads, and Kentucky's pretty fortunate in that regard because it cuts the cost for us of this road down tremendously. States like Indiana and Texas, they have a lot of greenfield development that they had to do with between tens and hundreds of miles of new asphalt. For us, we're making use of existing roadways that were built back in the 50s. Of course, we all know them as parkways, and parkways were, you know, a great idea for people in Kentucky to get back and forth, but they were really very discouraging for economic growth because you had to pay to play. If you were a company and you were shipping some sort of product through this region, would you pay extra to ship your product or not? Well, most people chose not to. So our traffic remained fairly minimal. And it made it great for those of us that traveled to Murray State to go to college, like Tracy and I. But for companies who wanted to get from point A to point B the fastest they could, or companies that were cities that were looking to draw in those companies, it made it very difficult. With us switching designations from state parkways to federal interstates, we now show up on a whole host of new maps. When, you know, Garmin's and Google Maps will show us eventually as being the fastest route from points north to south and vice versa, we're going to see a significant influx of traffic.
One of the topic areas on Tuesday's conference includes the Dean of Murray State's College of Business, Dr. Tim Todd, about potential impacts that you've just covered. And the question I would ask regarding Kentucky already having the highways that were parkways, will there be any retrofitting necessary for them to be interstates?
That's a good question. While our costs are lower, we do have costs involved and that we are incurring. To be a federal interstate, there are certain safety requirements and traffic volume requirements that need to be met. And safety requirements would be a good example is where you have on and off ramps that were designed originally around the toll booth structures that we had. And generally, you were at a standstill, and then you made a right-hand turn and pulled off the interstate, or the parkway, rather. Those do not meet the current federal safety standards. So many of the exits along our route, and Dawson Springs is one that's being worked on now, had to be updated with a different type of traffic flow infrastructure so that we could meet those safety standards. Another one that's near me that's a good example is Morton's Gap. There is no lead-in on or off the interstate, and there's a major truck stop there. So basically 18-wheelers roll up to the interstate and make a right-hand turn and pull on going 5 miles an hour. It's a very unsafe scenario for both the trucker and travelers along the route. As these things are changed, they'll put in longer on-ramps and off-ramps, which will allow you to get off of the interstate and slow down there. Another example of really one of the bigger projects is going to be the interchange from WKP to Pennyrail North. Currently, that's a tight cloverleaf-style turn, and it's a single lane. The plans that are being constructed now will have that changing over to a two-lane, both north and southbound from Pennyrail onto Western Kentucky Parkway, and you'll be able to maintain an easy 70-mile-an-hour speed through the entire sweeping turn. So we do have costs involved, but they're much, much less involved in that than, let's say, in northern Indiana, where you're blazing a new asphalt road through cornfields, or Texas, where you're going through, you know, just flatlands.
Let me remind our listeners that we're visiting with Lee Lingo, who's president of the Madisonville Hopkins County Chamber of Commerce. And I have some other questions to ask about the background and the content, but we need to remind you that we're speaking about a conference, a development conference for I-69 next Tuesday, October 15th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Ballard Convention Center in Madisonville. Lee, how does one sign up for attending this conference?
There's two real easy ways to do it. The first is you can call my office, the Madisonville-Hopkins County Chamber, at 270-821-3435. You can also email us at chamber@madisonville-hopkinschamber.com. And a third method is tinyurl.com/I69KY conference. And that will take you to a link where you can sign up digitally.
What are you looking for attendance-wise? How many folks would you like to come?
Well, we're close to 400 now. We've set a capacity at 500, so we're 2-3 days away, and we've had the phones ringing all day. So
excellent.
I'm pretty confident we'll get very close to our max. We really put a large focus of this marketing effort on city leaders, city and county folks. And one thing that we've received from the Department of Local Government, they've approved this conference for 5 hours of elected officials training. And that's been a really big help. It enables folks that need that to come in and apply that toward their continuing education. So that's also been helpful for attendance purposes.
Who'd have thunk that there would be a federal shutdown while this is occurring?
Well, it's funny. When we were sitting around trying to put a date to this event, we thought, well, the best chance we have of getting federal representation here would be during their time off. Well, they have time off, but it's not for the reason that we thought.
Well, What is the dream of completion of this corridor? What is the dream date?
You know, it's hard to put a date on it because let's say we get everything from Mayfield and Fulton all the way up to Madisonville and Henderson done in the next 3 years. We still have one glaring omission here on my end up north, which is the bridge connecting Kentucky and Indiana. Bridges are not cheap, and currently we are in line behind the two bridges being built in Louisville to Indiana and one in northern Kentucky that's going to go into Ohio. And when they're over $1 billion apiece, you know, government isn't the endless well of money that people used to think it was. And so we have to come up with new and innovative ways to pay for these bridges. And with this being the fourth bridge and the fourth on the list as far as the amount of traffic that it will see, we're waiting our place. You know, we're waiting our place in line. And you mentioned at the beginning of the show that Henderson and Indiana were working on something new, and they'll be mentioning that on the 14th. That's BridgeLink. That's an organization that's focusing its efforts specifically on advocacy for our bridge. We want to make sure that once the road's done, it's the full court pressure for the bridge. And that bridge may take 5-10 years. It just depends on how quickly the economy recovers and we can get together the money that we need to build it. But once that bridge is done, it will radically change how this whole corridor of western Kentucky, southern Indiana, northwest Tennessee will see traffic. We'll see commerce. We'll see people stopping to buy gas that'll jump 4- or 5-fold. People stopping for tourism opportunities that they didn't realize were as easy to get to as they are now. It's going to be a real game changer for our region.
Let me give the details about the BridgeLink event. Evansville Mayor Lloyd Winicky and Henderson Mayor Steve Austin, along with members of the BridgeLink Board of Directors, will discuss the need for an I-69 bridge Monday at 2 p.m. Central at the Ellis Park parking lot in Henderson. Let me go back to the I-69 conference in Madisonville on Tuesday, the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the interrelationship between the group known as C-Link and the group known as WKRCA.
That's a good question. C-Link stands for Chamber Leadership Initiatives for Northwest Kentucky, and that is a group of chambers in our region that are focused on common regional advocacy efforts. One of those is I-69. The WKRCA, which is West Kentucky Regional Chamber Alliance, is a similar group of chambers who have banded together to focus on regional issues closer to the purchase area. And so between the two of us, we have many things in common. One of those is I-69 because it goes through both of our regions. And so we've banded together on this and several other events to really try to make sure that our communities know how important this is and how we need to make sure we have a common message that everyone understands. You know, it's very critical that when you disseminate information that you do it very carefully and very simply, and that the message is on point and people know what it is and they can recite it without thinking about it. So we work closely with them for this. Another example is the broadband initiative that has been up in the legislature lately. So there's a lot of different things that we work together on, and BridgeLink is another partnership that is forming that we'll be working with them on the I-69 project. So we're being more regionally focused, I guess is a good way to sum it up in this area.
Now, one final question, and it's a big canasta, really, and that is, is the development, the total development of I-69 funded by the federal government and the state governments and local governments? What is the funding model?
Much of the funding comes from state government, and that's why we have to wait for certain projects to come up to let, which means it's their turn to be bid on and to be developed. Some projects go through a letting for design, they go through a design process, and then they go to another stage where they go to the letting for the build process. I mentioned that interchange between WKP and Penny Rile. That went to a design-build combined bid, and that was designed that way so that it could be done in a much quicker fashion. The state knows, you know, we're very fortunate, one, to have a governor from Western Kentucky. He's actually from my county, Hopkins County, and he's really leaving an outstanding legacy of infrastructure upgrades for our state with the bridges that he's involved in and I-69 development, and, of course, the bridge down your way that was knocked over by the boat. I mean, he's really leaving behind something, a high watermark to surpass, and so we're very fortunate to have someone like that championing the project.
Well, again, we're speaking with Lee Lingo, president of the Hopkins County Madisonville Chamber of Commerce. 100 seats left for the I-69 Development Conference Tuesday, October 15th. That's next week from 8 to 5 at the Ballard Convention Center. Lee, thank you for being available today.
Hey, thank you. I just had one more thing I'd like to say.
Oh, sure.
You know, we have had a pretty significant amount of private and public community support for this, sponsorship for this. And I think it's really, really outstanding that organizations like Murray State, who really pepper this region with locations, wanted to be involved in this. And Baptist Health, which you know, has now acquired Paducah's Hospital as well as ours. We have Road Builders, which is sponsoring the Governor's Luncheon, along with lots of tourism, chambers, West Kentucky Regional Chamber Alliance, C-Link. Without them, without all of us being involved, this wouldn't happen. And I think that's really the key to the success of future projects in this region is collaborative effort and working together, both public and private, all putting in sweat equity, all putting in dollars to make things happen. And without their support, this would not have been possible.
That was a good parting shot, Lee. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.